You know, our country is, and our world is really in a mess today, isn't it? I've never seen a time, hardly, where there's so many problems around the world. The MH17, that Russian MOOC missile shooting down that airplane. There's no doubt in my mind who's behind it. I don't know about you. But Russia is in the playing field again, and the Cold War has begun again, and they are very much a part of end-time prophecy. And so we know what's happening there in the Ukraine and those areas, and they are behind that. The Baghdad bombings, some happened yesterday, where dozens were killed there. We have the Gaza Strip, and you have the Palestinians, and you have the Jews that are, the Palestinians have attacked them and bombed them and shot rockets over in Israel. And then Israel, for self-defense, and the Palestinians hide their military stuff among little children. That's real brave, isn't it? And you have that. That's going on. You have in the Philippines a typhoon, another one that is hit going through the Philippines. In Iran, you have all kinds of things happening over there. They're trying to develop nuclear weapons. And if they do, you know why they're trying to develop it, don't you? They want to use it on Israel. They'd like to use it on the United States if they get a chance. And just like what happened there in Ukraine, it can happen over here. We have the different things that are going on around the world. ISIS, the stolen uranium that they got, they getting some of that from universities. They want to make a dirty bomb. A dirty bomb is not quite as bad as a nuclear bomb fallout, but the whole idea behind that is to cast fear on people and to make them get in line before they do the one that's even worse than that. Of course, it does have a great impact, the dirty bomb, as it is called, a nuclear fallout from that. In our country, we have the situation going on with the illegal immigrants coming in to our country, and they're just flooding it. A lot of that, of course, is by design, and certainly you feel for these little children, but you know the adults that are behind it, and the plot and the plan and the whole thing to try to bring down our country just that much more. And then you have America being in debt. We're so in debt. We are in debt to China. We can't tell China anything to do. If you owe somebody money, they tell you what to do. And we are so indebted to China, and believe it or not, even to Russia, according to some. We have the wildfires in Washington State. We have a government, and we have people involved in government that don't care about the law. They just pass over the law, do what they want to do, a dictatorial-type government that we have today with the liberals running it. We're in a mess. You say, "Preach, I didn't come to get depressed and despondent today." Well, we're going to talk about some things about our country, and I want to talk about America again, but I want you to understand that we need to realize where we are in end-time prophecy. And one of the greatest reasons to believe in the Bible is the predictive prophecy of the Bible. The Bible says certain things are going to happen, and they are happening, and some have already happened, and some are going to happen. But America, what's going to happen to America? It's going to happen to our country. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 33, just as reminders of God's principle, Psalm 33. And I'll start with verse 10, read through verse 12. And getting the principle from verse 12 primarily. But Psalm 33 in verse 10 says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught." That is, those who do not put him first, those who do not recognize him, the heathen, he maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And here's a key verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen? And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord in his rightful place, who is being honored as he should be honored. We think about America, and I believe with all of my heart, God raised America up. It was part of God's sovereign plan, the sovereignty of God in founding America. The discovery of America was not an accident. You go to the Capitol in the Rotunda, and you'll see a painting there entitled The Landing of Columbus. And we know that that was no accident. God allowed that to happen, and Columbus believed what the Bible said in Isaiah 59:19, where it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. And so realizing west of Europe that there might be some more land, Columbus believed in the Bible and headed out. I don't think that was an accident. I believe God was sovereignly behind that. And the journal on his first voyage showed the purpose, and the purpose, primary purpose in his journal that was stated was to take the message of Jesus to unknown land. To take the message of Jesus to an unknown land. We have a great nation today as it stands. 5% of the world's population in America. 5%. Somewhere around 5%. And yet, we have 50% or more of the luxuries in the world here in America. 50% or more of the luxuries in the world are right in our country, even though we represent only 5% of the world's population. Why has God blessed us so much? Why has God blessed this nation? Didn't God have a plan? I think he did. How does America fit into that plan? What's going to happen to America? Well, I believe there's some reasons in God's sovereign plan for God's favor on America. The first reason, I believe, is America was a number one country in world missions, behind world missions. God raised up this country in order to send missionaries out all over the world, prospered us. God's people have been prosperous so that we can send missionaries all over the world, the force behind world missions, and that is changing a little bit now, I'm sad to say. It shouldn't be changing, but it is changing a little bit. But God raised up America to get the gospel out all over the world through world missions. Three-fourths of the missionaries and three-fourths of the money, material things, and all the aid from missions and all in the last 100 years has come from America. We represent 5% of the world. 75% of the missionaries came from our country. I believe God honors the countries who honor his priorities. In our country, among the Christians, have honored the fact that the gospel needs to be taken to the whole world, and that's still God's plan, amen, that the gospel go to the whole world, beginning in Fort Worth, our Jerusalem. Our church is very blessed in being involved in missions, where we give over 20% of our money to missions. We'll give over 300,000 to missions this year, and it's growing, and we hope someday it'll be $500,000 and right on up the ladder. But thank God for that, and I believe that's one reason our church experiences the blessings of God. America has been a friend, secondly, to the Jewish nation. We've gotten the gospel out, and then we've been friends to the Jewish nation. That, my dear friend, is biblical. 3% of the population, somewhere thereabout, of America is Jewish. And they are protected in our country from harassment and from the Hitler-like anti-Semitism. They have religious freedom to worship the way they want to worship. They have economic, educational, they have cultural opportunity in America. Americans have been good to the Jewish population. And we base that on our Judeo-Christian beliefs, our Judeo-Christian heritage that we have. President Truman believed in what the Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy, and that there was the land of the Jews that should be theirs that were there. Abba Eban, some of you remember that name, a Jewish statesman. He sought support from the United Nations and the United States for Israel. He met with a delegation in Paris. The Secretary of State was George Marshall. George Marshall was not too supportive of the Jews. Well, you know, God can handle George Marshall. And so George Marshall got sick and flew home, and a man by the name of John Foster Dulles was the man that was placed there and took over. And John Foster Dulles, believe it or not, just an accident that he was placed there because he was for the Jews. Well, it was not an accident. God put him there. And he began what we would know as the 60, 70 plus years of a relationship with the Jews. And because we have been a blessing to the Jews, I believe God has blessed America. And then because America has been a free nation. Thank God we have been a free nation. And the reason is, primarily, we have been, from the very outset, a Christian nation. And where you find Christianity, you find freedom. If you don't find Christianity, you don't find freedom. You find that because of Christianity, because it is an example to the whole world that where Christ rules and where Christ reigns, and when he is in authority, there is indeed freedom. Christ came to give us freedom. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. Thank God when you get saved, you're free from the power of sin, and you're free from the penalty of all of that. We are free because we get saved, because we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a group called Freedom House in 2007, they did an annual survey on freedom in the world, in all of the world where there's freedom. 3 billion, over 3 billion, 46% of the world population live in a free-type society, and or at least a partly free country. 54% of the world does not live in freedom. If you'll study the religions that are there in those places, you'll find out that Christianity is not prevalent in those places. And that's normal because the tendency of fallen man, of wicked man, outside of Christ, outside of God, is tyranny and to take over and to be dictators. That's just the way it is with people that are unsaved and people that do not know the Lord. And so we have tried, we made an attempt, up until more recent times, I think, and I see that trend changing. I personally do not like that. But we have tried to share our freedom around the world, and America has been an oasis of liberty for those who want to come legally into our country and find that freedom that our country offers them. Our freedom is being challenged. There's an erosion today in our culture, and our freedoms are under fire. A lot of the wealthy people in America are leaving because they've lost a lot of their freedoms. They're going to other countries, somewhere estimated around 300,000 plus of wealthy people, business-type people, leaving our country. And that's the first time it's been, this is the first time it has been that significant in our country. But if you deny the principles that made you great, and Christian principles is what made this country great, if you begin to deny the principles that made you great, you cannot expect God to continue blessing. You just can't do it. Whether it's an individual, or whether it's a state, or whether it's a country, you cannot expect that. America, as I've said, was founded on God and His Word. Go back and study it, the history of it. They're trying to rewrite it. It was dependence on God and dependence on the Bible. This country was started with dependence on God and the Bible, not some autocrat, not of those things. Back in our text, the Bible, this was the basis of it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the founders of our country believed that, and they practiced that. And they knew that God was our lifeline. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So our lifeline has been God. Our lifeline has been the Word of God. And as long as we're thankful, we've been going upward. But when we get blessed and we quit honoring God and being thankful to God, we're going downward. And we're seeing that happen today. George Washington said this: "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God in the Bible." I like that. I wish we had politicians that would say that today. And then Abraham Lincoln said, "God is my witness that it is my constant anxiety and prayer that both myself and this nation should be on the Lord's side." Amen, Abraham Lincoln. Benjamin Franklin said, he explained why he requested this each day, the Constitutional Convention be open with prayer, and this is the way he said it: "It be open with prayer. The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of the truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And without his aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." If we forget God, we'll be just like Babylon. The enemies of God are trying to cut our lifeline. They're doing it all the time in our culture today. Sometime back in the Dallas area school, the national motto was put up, "In God We Trust." On a gym wall, one parent complained, and they made them paint over it. Finally, they had some decisions. They put it back up. In Washington, D.C., the capstone of the Washington Monument, the National Park Service maintained a replica on the 490-foot level. It's positioned to be seen. And recently, the display was changed so that it cannot be seen because they wanted the words "Praise be to God" removed, trying to wipe it out everywhere. In our pledge to the flag, in all that we're trying to do, almost a daily assault on any public reminder of the fact that our dependency is on God, not on anything else. Now, what about America in the future? There's a silence in the future in Bible prophecy about America. It doesn't talk much about America. Why is that? What happens to America? What's going to happen to America? And I'll give you three or four possibilities that are prevalent today. One of those is America will be incorporated into the European coalition, and we'll be part of the one world government. And that means, as I think a lot of the political leaders are doing today, trying to dumb down America, make America broke, make us militarily weak, so that we'll be forced to go into that one world confederacy. I don't think God likes that. God is a God that teaches us patriotism and nationality. God does teach those things in his word. Back in 2007, President Bush, who, by the way, is not a Democrat, welcomed the EU Commission. The EU Commission. And President and German Chancellor Ross, or President and him, went into the Rose Garden of the White House. Bush thanked him for their part in the Transatlantic Economic Integration Plan that the three of us signed today. I personally think that was a terrible mistake. It is a statement of the importance of trade. It is a commitment of eliminating barriers to trade. It is a recognition that the closer that the United States and the EU become, the better off our people become. So this is a substantial agreement, and I appreciate it. I disagree with him. I don't care if he is a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't matter. That's something that has not helped us. He went on to say, "I believe it's in this country's interest that we reject isolationism and protectionism and encourage free trade." Well, you see the message got us into. God intends for a nation like America to be a strong nation, a strong, powerful nation, militarily and otherwise, so we can do what God has called us to do. March 2008 meeting at the State Department, there was a focus group on linking the United States, Mexico, and Canada in what was called the North American Community with the European Union to put us together. The Transatlantic Economic Union between the European Union and North America. America incorporated into the European Union. And we become weaker, and we don't have much to say about what goes on culturally then and what goes on spiritually. And then America will be invaded by an outside force. That can happen. We've already seen 9-1-1. We've already seen what can be done around the world, and don't think they're not ready to do it here. They want to do it here, and if they get the opportunity, they probably will do it here. Prophecy is very solid. Who knows? America may be wiped off the map. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. I'm just telling you what can happen. There can be a nuclear attack that would come on our nation that would weaken us and wipe us off the map and force us into these other things. It can happen. And these things can kill, we don't understand it, it can kill millions overnight. Ed Timberlake, who served as in the Office of Defense Secretary with Ronald Reagan, made this, and I want to give you a quote. It is certain that a nuclear weapon in the hands of a fanatical jihadist, those are your Muslims who are talking about war, a fanatical jihadist will be used. The only current deterrence against its use is a worldwide hunt for the device before Israel, London, New York, or D.C. disappears in a flash. And he was on the inside. He knew what was going on. I'm telling you, the possibility is at least there. And then not only that, another thing it affects us, America is infected by moral decay. My soul, are we ever seeing moral decay in this country? Dr. Carl Zimmerman identified 11 symptoms of final decay in the fall of the Grecian Empire and the Roman Empire. 11 different things. See if you see if any of these characterize the United States of America today. And what I'm telling you is we need a revival. That's what I'm telling you. We need to get back to God. God spared Nineveh. God can spare America a little bit longer to do what we need to do. But here are some things that characterize them. Number one, no-fault divorce. Number two, the birth dearth. That is increased disrespect for parenthood and parents. There are kids running around all over America today. They don't even know who their daddy is, or their mother in some cases. Number three, meaningless marriage rites and ceremonies. Meaningless marriage rites and ceremonies. Walking into the marriage saying, if it works fine, it doesn't work fine, we'll just divorce. And entering it in with a prenuptial contract. And that's based on a great thing to go in your marriage on, not trusting each other. So they have that, and then there are all kinds of problems. And then the defamation of past national heroes. Wow. Do they want to get rid of our heroes? Do they want to disparage Lincoln and Washington and those guys like that that I've quoted and many others like them? And then the acceptance of alternative marriage forms. We have any of that going on today? Widespread attitudes of feminism, narcissism, and hedonism. Just generally turning away from God. Propagation of anti-family sentiment. And then the acceptance of the most forms of adultery. The acceptance of it. And then rebellious children. And increased juvenile delinquency. And then common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. All of these things we're seeing in our culture today. I talked to a boy yesterday, Brother Dean Wimberly and I. We actually went to the wrong place. We wound up getting at the right place, but we decided since he came to the door, we'd talk to him. 14 years of age. And I struck up a little conversation with him, and I asked him some questions, and I said, do you believe in God? He said, no, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. Very peacock proudly said, I'm an atheist. I said, well, do you believe in Jesus? No, I don't believe in Jesus. So I said, you don't believe there's a God at all? No. I said, well, who do you think made all this? I don't know, and I don't care. And we just went on down. I said, well, what about this watch I have on? I said, I want to tell you about it. One day I was walking down the street, and it just jumped on my arm, wrist, and all of a sudden I looked down, and all the numbers were there, the second hand was going, and it was telling me the time. I said, that's quite a coincidence, wouldn't you think? Well, he said the Mayans had time and they knew what. I said, yeah, I know they did. But I'm telling you, that there's a God, and God created this earth, and you cannot get away from that. And I read about that young boy in the Bible, by the way. It said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I didn't tell him that, but I wanted to. But at any rate, I tried to be nice to witness to him, hoping the power of the word. Where did he get those ideas? I said, where did you get that idea, young man? 14 years of age. Dean talked to him a while. And we told him, he said, somebody had to put that idea in your brain. I'll tell you where he got it. He got it in science class. He got it when they taught him evolution. They don't teach you the other side of that. They're scared to. And you get into a college, university class of philosophy, and they're going to teach one-sidedness on that. They're not going to teach the other side. And so a lot of that junk comes down. But America's infected with deadly disease of moral decay. And God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. God says, there'll come a day I've had enough. There'll come a day the cup of iniquity is full. And God will act. And God will cut us off. And then America will be impotent because of the rapture. Hey, the rapture could take place any moment. You say, well, what about all these things? You trying to scare us? I'm trying to tell you just where we are. I'm trying to tell you that we are getting closer and closer. And by the way, the Bible says he could come right now. Right this moment, Jesus could come in the air and catch up all of the saved people. Wouldn't that be great? Well, what a good ending to a message. That would be great if he came. But we also know that there are a number of signs in the Bible, not for the rapture, but for the return of Christ 7 years later when he comes back and sets up his kingdom. So if the signs that are there prevalent for the tribulation period are taking place, then where do you think the rapture is? It is before that takes place. We believe the Bible teaches a pre-trib rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and following, and other places that the Bible teaches. We go out of here before the tribulation. Those that are saved, you seem real excited about that. We do go out of here before the tribulation. I'm excited about it. I thank God for it that we do go out of here. And about 25% of America's population claims to be saved. I don't know how many of them are really saved, but I know this, when the rapture takes place, it is going to impact this nation. And this nation will lose its salt and lose its light. And when the church is gone and the rapture calls out all of the Christians and the Spirit of God is taken, all hell's going to break loose. It's going to happen on the earth. It will be like reverse surgery. The good cells are going to be removed and the cancer is going to move in. Now, you say, well, I have some apprehensions about the rapture. So like getting married, we anticipate it with joy. And yet there are butterflies. Well, listen, you don't have to worry about the rapture. Just be ready, amen? Just know you're ready. It's going to be a great thing. It's not going to be a weird thing or a mystical thing that you won't love and enjoy. It'll be the greatest thing that you've ever experienced in eternity to be raptured and taken up to be with the Lord. So how should we approach the future? You've told us all of this. How should we approach the future? Scared? Afraid? No, not at all. Not at all. We should do it knowing that God is in charge. The Creator is in charge. He puts people in the presidential office, and he removes them when he wants to. He puts kings in their positions in foreign countries. He removes them when he wants to. He puts prime ministers in position when he wants to. He'll remove them when he wants to. God can do that. The Bible says he does all that. God's in charge. God's doing all of that. The Creator's in charge. And if you're saved, you are his friend. And he's going to take you out of here before the tribulation comes. The events of the United States and all that is going on ought to stimulate us today, if you're not saved, to get saved. Number one, because if you're not saved and Christ returns, you'll be left here without an opportunity to be saved. You say, oh, after he comes and you're gone, then I'll get saved because I'll remember the message you preached that Sunday morning. No, the Bible tells us if you have a chance before the rapture of the church and you don't take it, then you're not going to have that opportunity in the tribulation. Study the Bible. It's there. It's right there in the Word of God. So it ought to stimulate you to get saved today. It should stimulate the believers that we quit playing church, that we get right down to business with God, that we be totally surrendered to Him. We give Him our time, our talent, our treasure. We use everything we can to serve God with all of our heart. We don't hang on to our sins. We get serious about this matter of living for God and serving Jesus Christ. And our trust, my trust today is not in the United States, though I love it. And I'm a patriot. My trust is not in the United States. And bless the Lord, it's not in the United Nations either. Because our nation could shortly disappear and be weak. The United Nations would just confuse things that much more. Here's what we need to do. Trust Him. Trust Him as your Savior. Get saved. And then trust Him whatever you're facing in life, whatever's happening in our country. Don't panic. Don't chew off your fingernails. Don't start popping tranquilizers. Don't start worrying to death about your savings and about what's going to happen. Just look to God and have faith in God. That God's going to do it. I'm a pan-millennialist. You say, what's a pan-millennialist? I believe everything's going to pan out all right. Amen? So I'm a pan-millennialist. Events are by God. And we don't need to trust in a nation, but trust in Him. Only God. Only God is worth all, A-double-L, all our allegiance. I believe in pledging allegiance to our flag and our country. But only God... only God deserves all of our allegiance. I ask you today, are you saved? What do you mean, preacher? Well, are your sins forgiven? Is the guilt gone? Are you going to heaven when you die? Do you know that? Well, I hope so, preacher. But what are you depending on? Well, I've been a pretty good person. I try to do right. Trying to do right won't get you to heaven. There's so many people trying to do right to get to heaven, and they think because they do that, and everybody has their existential approach to it and their theory about it, and I believe this is the right thing for me to do, and I'll get to heaven, and this is the right thing for me to do, I'll get to heaven. I love animals and animal rights, and that'll help. God will be so pleased with my animal rights. Now, if you have animal rights, fine. Go ahead and believe in animal rights. I don't think anybody should mistreat animals, but that isn't going to get you to heaven. You say, well, I believe in this other thing over here, and I believe in helping those that are needy and down, and I believe that too. But that's not going to get you to heaven. There are a lot of philanthropists in our world think they're going to heaven because they give thousands upon thousands of dollars to help the needy or to help some good cause or something that's out there. That has nothing to do with you going to heaven. You have to admit you're lost, you're hell-bound, you don't deserve a thing. You're in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And if you don't get saved, you won't go to heaven. You've got to come bankrupt, bowing at His feet, trusting Him and Him alone as your Savior to get to heaven. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, believing that, shall be saved. You can be saved today. There are just a lot of saved people aren't living for the Lord. They're not discerning the times. They're living loose lives. They have sin in their lives. They're not serious with God. They are members of this church that are not serious with God. They're not sold out to God. They're playing church. They're just sort of piddling around with Christianity in church. Friends, we need to be on fire for God. We need to be revived for the glory of God. Given all that is going on, looking around, may it motivate us to do what we should be doing already and even more of it as God's children. Let's stand, please. Let's bow our heads. Friend, what does your future hold? What is your future? No matter what happens to America, no matter what happens to the world, what is your future? Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Let me tell you some good news. Good news. Jesus paid for your sins. And He'll forgive you if you'll ask Him and believe. And you can be born again by the Spirit of God and, listen to me now, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Never lose your salvation. you're sealed by the Holy Spirit when you trust Him. You're born again, born into His family, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Would you come today and be saved? And Christian, has God spoken to you? I've done what God told me to do. Has He spoken to you? Are you listening? May God help you to do what you need to do today. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the power of it. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who is here, and what I'm depending on to make this message real, to draw people to Christ, to speak to hearts. And I pray you'd do that in Jesus' name. Amen.